let's begin. Let's, we have one last one. The last stanza of the Mosor. That is what we're up to. Just to finish up quickly, and we'll discuss some other things. Chasoif zeroya kodshecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to expose, uncover his your holy arm. Now, I want to hold, put this on hold for a few moments. I want to explain a little bit more depth what this means later. So I'm going to hold, put this, say this for the end. Okay, we ask Hashem to basically to crush our enemies, to show his strength. The Korev Kates HaYeshua, and to hasten the Kates of salvation. Okay, let's read the entire thing. Nikom Nikmas Tam Avodecha. What? There are other versions. There are many versions. We discussed this because this was censored by the Christians because this refers specifically to the destruction of Golus Edom to Rome, and they were not very happy with this. So this was censored, and we discussed last week. Some are of the opinion that this was part of the original version. It was forgotten, and subsequently, people they rewrote it from memory. And since everyone had a different memory of exactly what it said, it became a bit corrupted. Others say, no, this was aired at a later point in time. Okay, Nikom Nikmas Tam Avodecha, seek revenge for the blood of your servants, May Uma Harashah, from the evil nation, Ki Archolanu HaYeshua, because the Geula, it's taking a very long time. The Ein Kates, the Mei Hara, there's no end to the days of evil. The Chetz Admon, push away the Admon, which is a reference, a code for Edom. Esav, who is red, Betzel Tzalmon, in the shadow of Tzel Hamaves. What do you recall? You told who told us to be Betzel Tzalmon? Is that the Tzel of the shadow of the Tzelem? It's a play on the word, the shadow of the Tzelem. Hakim Lanu Royim Shev. Who are the seven shepherds? The seven shepherds are David in the middle, Adam and Shais on the right. And on the left is Moshe and I think Mashiach. Those Chazal. That's 3, 4, 5. I don't have it here. Okay, I didn't bring with me my. Wait a minute. Who are the Adam? Those are five. So we're on the two other shepherds. Did I write it down? No. Did I write it down? Okay, I don't remember. Let's put that aside for now. Okay, there's one thing I just want to—I forgot to mention of the Korev Kates HaYeshua. There was one nice word about. I forgot what it says. There's two zmanim for Mashiach. There's a zmanim shall be Ita and Achishena. So the expression the Korev Kates HaYeshua is obviously is Achishena, and the Be'ita is Ki Orcholanu HaYeshua V'in Kates L'nei Hara'ah. There's a very nice take. I don't remember it exactly. So let's leave this for now. I don't remember the details of this idea. But let's discuss a few other quick things quickly. There is a minhag. So we want to discuss with you a couple of minhagim. First minhag I want to discuss is eating on Chanukah Sifganiyot. Is that how you pronounce it? To eat Sufganiyot. Sufganiyot is what we call donuts. Where does this come from, to eat donuts? So donuts obviously used to be, they still are fried with oil. Anything that has something to do with oil automatically alludes to is a zecher for the days of Chanukah, which is the Pach Shemen Shal Chanukah. The earliest source for this minhag is shocking. This minhag has a makor that goes back way, way before almost any other minhag that we observe in Klal Yisrael, is from the father of the Rambam. Everyone knows that the Rambam's name was Moshe ben Maimon. So Maimon was actually quoted in various svarim, and he writes that a person should not dare abandon any minhag, even if you don't understand what the reason behind the minhag. And he gives an example. For example, we have a custom on Chanukah to eat these things called the sufganiyos, which we, I think, translate still to mean dough kneaded in oil. And he even gives an Aramaic word, what it was called in those days. And this is a makom that's quoted very often by in all the sermons, why we observe this custom, there is such a thing. It's from Maimon, the father, another Gzuntheit. The Rambam's son became very famous, Rav Avraham ben HaRambam. There are tshuvas, there are a lot of things that he wrote about his father, there are a lot of things that he wrote on his own, a lot of chidushim, but we don't really know very much about Maimon. And this is a fascinating insight that Maimon, he is the source, the often quoted source for this custom. It's a minhag, and he says you should not abandon the minhag, even if you don't appreciate the full depth of the minhag, it is something that should be done. Okay, now jumping ahead, Mikatz Lakatza, going back from the 12th century, all the way to the 21st century, of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who was from the 20th century, he has a Vard which is very, very famous. The reason why I'm telling you to is because I just want to have one teeny soy safa. He says the reason why it's kedai to eat a donut on Chanukah is not so much that you should eat the donut, you should put yourself in a position to make the bracha of Al HaMichya. Right. The bracha of Al HaMichya, why? Because the only place in all of our liturgy where we mention the Mizbeach is in Al HaMichya, V'al Mizbechecha. Hashem Sherachmon is on the Mizbeach. And being that Chanukah, the name Chanukah itself means, is a reference to the Chanukas HaMizbeach, Oz Egmor B'Shir Mizmor Chanukas HaMizbeach. The Mizbeach was defiled by the Yevonim, it was demolished, it was stored in the base HaMoikad. A new Mizbech was rebuilt, and that Mizbech is what we named the entire Chanukah, the Mizbech, Zigmar Bashir Mizbech Chanukah Samizbech. So it's Kedai to put yourself in a situation where you're going to make the Al HaMichya, and you're going to be Mispalul Hashem, once again, Sharachmanis, the Al Mizbechech. This is quoted in his name, it's extremely popular. It's probably. Only oil.
No,
right. There is much less of a makar to eat latkes than there is to eat donuts. Number one from Maimon, and then we have this food. And I just want to add one hoisaf is that why did Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach stop with v'al mizbechecha? You can just go to the next expression, v'al heicholecha. Where else in Chazal in our nusach atil are you ever mispal that Hashem shesharachmanis said the heichol? The entire miracle of Chanukah was all about the heichol. Batku. They defiled all the Gemara actually used the word heichel numerous times. They defiled all of the oil in the heichel. And Batku v'loy matzu, they only found one pach shemen shemuna b'chasam shel kohen gadol, and they found it says in the Gemara in the heichel. Everything happened in the heichel. And in fact the Maral picked up on this, and the Gemara focused intensely on the heichel, and he explained why dafka the heichel. And the Maral explains the heichel is the outer limit in this world where the Yevanim have a koyach Lita. Lafuke what? There's only one madrega further than the Heichel, and that is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Pach Shem that was found was Munach B'Chosam HaShel Kohen Gadol. What's the mile of the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol goes Lifnai V'Lifnim. So the Maral says, why does the Gemara over and over in all the Nusach HaTfilah and the Chazal Heichel, Heichel, Heichel? Because the Heichel, the Yevonim have Shlita Ad V'Loyad Bechlal. They cannot made it to the very, very end. They conquered the entire world. They conquered the Eretz Yisrael. They conquered Yerushalayim. All of the Asara Kedushas that we have in the Masechta Kelim, all the various Kedushas of the world, they succeeded gradually to conquer. And they conquered the Kedusha. They were able to defile the Kedusha even in the Heichel. But that's where it came to an end. And the only reason why we were able to survive was because since there still is a Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is still pure, and it was not defiled, it was that small mashu of Kedusha was able to use to rebuild the entire world. So, ad v'loyad v'chlal. Nenela, that's why. You can take the same word of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and for the same money, you can just go one step. V'al nizbechecha, chanukas hamizbech, v'al heicholecha. Especially when you appreciate the significance of the Maral, that the farming was until the Heichel, and now we must spell that once again the Kedusha shall be rebuilt. Okay, now, there's another reason I want to say, I think it's a double pashut. I didn't see anyone say this, but I think it's so pashut. Another reason why it's kedai to eat donuts on Chanukah. It's a Feresh Mishnah. It's a Feresh Mishnah in the Sechta. In Masechta Kelim, I'll read you the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about at what point in time is a tanur is an oven called nigmar melachto. In order for an oven to be, in order there's a halacha in the Torah that if you put food in the sheretz, a dead sheretz in an oven, the entire inside of the oven is tane. If there is also food attached to the walls of the oven, the food becomes tane. Just like you have a concept called an oil hanes, there's also a concept of tumah, the tumah of a tanur. A tanur kol asher besocho yitzma. anything inside the aver of a kli charis, and the classic zimul of a kli charis is a tanner, becomes tame when the sheretz is found inside that area. When is a tanner called complete? If you take clay and you shape the tanner and you let it sit out in the sun the entire summer in scorching heat, it's not called a tanner. It's not metane. It has no koyach. It has to be used. So how much does it have to be used? You assume it has to be used. What is a tanner meant for? It's meant to make bread. The primary use of a tanner is to bake bread. The primary use of a kira is to cook. A kira is used for cooking. A tanner is used for baking. So you would assume that you have to bake bread at least one time in order to harden the oven to inaugurate the oven into its service. Yet the Mishnah Masechta Kelim Perakei says something shocking. It says a zeu gemar malachtoi mishayasikenu kedei leefoy spo sufganin. You don't have to light up the oven to the degree where it gets hot enough to actually bake bread. It's sufficient to heat up the oven to enough heat in order to bake sufganin, which means a dough that is kneaded in oil, what we would call a donut. A donut does not require the same degree of heat, intensity of heat, as a loaf of bread. And that is enough to be mechanech, to inaugurate the oven for its first use. What is Hanukkah all about? We renewed the Mizbeach. What is the Mizbeach? We bring on the Mizbeach, the carbon tamid. What is the carbon tamid called? Karboni lachmi. The karbonos are called Hashem's bread. The Mizbeach is Hashem's tanur. It's karboni lachmi. And we have re-inaugurated this Mizbeach. When you re-inaugurate the Mizbeach, you don't have to go and bring a full carbon. You don't have to burn a fire to light up a fire 100%. You just have to do the minimum. And what's the minimum to inaugurate something that's miyuchid for lechem? Says in the Mishnah, kidei le'efois bo sufganin. So it's pashat. I think it's a very serious part. The reason why we the meaning sufganim is since the mizbeach is miyuchid for the lechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and chinuch does not require 100%, requires just sufganim. So you have here a card in the Mishnah for this interesting idea. Okay, let's run to some other quick ideas. We have a minute to give Chanukah gelt on Chanukah. Why is someone told me, a grandfather told me, that he dreads Chanukah? It cost him $500. $500, that's all? Every Chanukah is Chanukah Geld, $500. Where does this come from? When I was a child, I never got Chanukah Geld. I don't know what this is all about. When I was a kid, what? I didn't get presents. I didn't get Chanukah Geld. I don't know where this happened all of a sudden. What? I got nothing. What are we getting Chanukah? Chanukah presents? I don't remember getting Chanukah presents. Today you have the parties and Chanukah presents and Chanukah gelt. It's really over the top. Way over the top. But there is such a thing. It is brought down in all the early sources. There is such a thing. Everyone talks about the meaning of giving Chanukah gelt. The reason is because Chanukah is about Chinuch HaBonim. Okay, Avos Subonim. Chazal would love it. If Chazal came today, If they came and they saw this generation, there's one thing that they would love. I have no doubt in my mind. They would look at everything. They would love Mitzvah Shabbos. That would take the cake. If Chazal, the Rishonim, would see Avos Subonim, they would look at everything else. They would just laugh their heads off at us. But Avos Subonim, they would really that was something they would appreciate. Chanukah is all about Chinuch HaBonim. Chinuch HaBonim, sometimes you have to, you gotta give a kid a gift. You have to give a child something to inspire them, a reward. And therefore, that's what they say. All the Rishonim, a lot of the Achronim, I think the Magen Avraham, the Taz, they talk about this. Chanukah Geld, the Tam Tamen Geld is, you have to get the children excited about Yiddishkeit. What?
You're giving them in God we trust.
You have to get them excited. There's a famous story with the Sfasemes. The Chidushi Horim. The Chidushi Horim once said to the Sfasemes, when he already was married, what do you want, my enikel? The Sfasemes was raised by his grandfather. What do you want for Chanukah Geld? So the Sfasemes said, Chanukah Geld. You don't have to give me Chanukah Geld. I'm ready. He says, no, you need Chanukah Geld. You know, you just got married. I don't know all the details, but you need to have a son. You don't have children yet. So I'm going to give you a bracha for Chanukah Geld. I'm going to give you a bracha that you should have a son. And the Sfasemis had a hard time having children, and when his wife was pregnant, it was a very, very difficult pregnancy, and they came back many times to the Chiddush Harim. This is what it says in the storybooks. And they asked him for the bracha, and he kept on telling them, I already told you, I gave you for Chanukah Geld. I already gave you a Ben Zachar. Don't worry. Don't worry, just have emuna, and even when Bishas laid, it was a very difficult laid, the doctors wanted to do, I don't know what all the details, but don't worry, I already gave you the bracha, the Chanukah Geld, and what came? The Imrei Emes. The son of the Sfas Emes, the Imrei Emes. The Imrei Emes was the Chanukah Geld from the Chiddush Harim to the Sfas Emes. It's a beautiful story, there are more details, but you see, obviously, the Sfas Emes, they took this idea of Chanukah Geld very seriously. Okay, let's jump to another idea, let's talk about maybe the dreidel. I'm a little bit unorganized here. Let me just turn the pages. I can see what I have here, what I prepared. Okay, another reason why we give Chanukah. This is a very important reason. Is Chanukah is a zman. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the aniyim were soivivim al apsachim. They would collect tzedakah. It was dire poverty. In order not to embarrass aniyim, it was a technique. You give everyone money. So you call together, there were people, there were young people, all different types of people, so you give to the children. So part of giving money to the children, and mainly you're able to cover up that you're also giving a larger envelope of money to Talmidei Chacham. So it was a technique, or some suggest, it was not really meant to give children presents, it was meant to use as a cover, not to embarrass Talmidei Chacham, who needed desperately funds for survival. That itself is pretty. Now, I don't know this. I don't know if you ever hear of this thing. There's a minik. He brings down over here in the Zecha David, fascinating minik, that a boy that is born during Chanukah, there was such a sacred minik. It was named Matisyahu. I don't know if that means that it was so that it had kedima over a relative in the family, stam and not. But if you didn't have anyone to name a baby after, it was a very sacred minhag that Chanukah, a baby, a person was called Matis, so you can be certain he was born in Chanukah. Now this is very bizarre to me, you can explain this to me. A girl that was born in Chanukah, the girl was called Chanukah. Do you know anyone whose name is Chanukah? You do? Oh, you do? Who?
We had somebody, I don't know the person, but he always made a mishaberek for a relative, Rachman ben Chanukah.
Chanukah.
Okay. Chanukah
ben Chanukah. So what,
his mother,
the boy was named Chanukah? Okay, interesting. So this is called in the Zecher David. This seems to be an early Sefer. It was a sacred custom to name a girl Chanukah if she was born in Chanukah. No, Chanukah, not Chana. Chanukah, that the whole name, the whole spelling of the name. He makes it very clear. That's what they would call the girl. Another very interesting minhag. When do you put away your menorah? Well, I put it away Pesach. But don't bring any raya's for me. But let's say I daven in yeshiva. So they're after Chanukah, it's the menorah is not present before Chanukah, and the day after Chanukah, right away, it's taken away. Because, not make a mistake, it's because there's a certain sanctity. You know, I mean, that shouldn't be, you know, when you're in a public place, you're at home, you do whatever you want. In a public place, you know, you should have Kedushas HaMokhaim. When it's Chanukah, the menorah is there. And when it's not Chanukah, the menorah is not there. That's the way it should be. But he brings down, I saw in many Chassidus Shemaislach that Shmini Atzeres, after Simchas Torah, there are some such customs where you take out the Chanukah menorah. I've seen this in a number of Sar. Chassidus Rebbes, after they come back and they make Havdolah Mitzoy Simchas Torah, after they take out the menorah to get it ready for the next Chag. But he brings down here from the Sefer, the same Sefer Zecher, that it seems to be a very authoritative Sefer Amin Hagim, and a Sefer Kadman, Zecher David. He quotes this, and what I'm quoting over here from my Oitzer Haidias Asifas Gershoin by Rabbi Gershoin Eisenberg. He lives in Chicago. He put out a number of Sfarim. He doesn't have it in English. He only has it here in Hebrew. No. He doesn't have it. Gershon Eisenberger. Eisen with an E. E-I-S. Eisenberger. Oh, he already lives in Lakewood. He must have made Aliyah. I know he used to live in Chicago. I know he used to live in Chicago. So he says, so this sefer, the minig is 3 days. 3 days before, 3 days after. You're not supposed to take away the menorah from the windowsill until 3 days after Chanukah to show the chavivus of Chanukah. The chavivus 3 days before and 3 days after. And I just want to tell you one thing. I had a lot of hanah this year. I don't know if this was an accident or this was done on purpose. I davened in a shul, davened very slow. They davened very slow there, and in the yeshiva, and the Baal Tzvila for Hallel. So they're different Baal Tzvila every day. So when they sing nigunim, some popular nigunim, some not so popular nigunim. So yesterday he's singing Osur and this and that. Some of these new nigunim I never heard before. And yesterday he sang for Hallel the nigun of Mari Kohen. You know the Pirchei Nigun that became extremely popular on the Yomim Noirom on Yom HaKippurim Nari Kain? So I chapped such Hanah. I thought it was such a pikhos. Because what is the Chanukah all about? They only found the Pach Shayim Munach B'choisamoy Shel Kohen Gadol. And especially, I'll tell you, this was in Chaim Berlin. This is in Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin, the very into Maral. Chaim Berlin, what? Sure they do. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? They sing all the time. It's a new generation. So especially in Chaim Berlin, as if you know, the Rav Chudner was very heavily steeped in Maral. Maral is like the lifeblood of Chaim Berlin. And the Maral is a very famous Maral that explains the Maral that I just told you. The Maral that I just told you is that he explains why does the Gemara say that they found the Pach, they contaminated all the oil in the Hechel. It's because that the Koyach of the Yevonim went through the Hechel, but was not able to penetrate the saving grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saved us before the Yevonim were able to contaminate the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was the saving grace. From that, we're able to renew and rebuild the entire world. So that's why the Pach Shayimunach B'choisamoy Shel Kohen Gadol. The whole Yontav of Chanukah is not just about the Kohanim HaKadoshim, but it's the Koyach of the Kohen Gadol. So what a perfect Shidduch to take the Nigun of Mari Kohen, the beautiful piyut that describes in great detail what the Kohen Gadol, what he looked like, what he was all about, and to take that Nigun and to bring that Nigun into Chanukah. It was a gewaldige pikhus. I had a lot of hanah. I'm assuming he did it with this cheshbon. I'm not assuming just he had a nice nigun and just got lucky. But it was not often do you... What?
Which capital of
there's
so many in the
Hallel? For Hoidul Hashem, the Hallel, the first major section where Moshul sing. The Hallel, Hoidul Hashem, Hoidul Hashem.
Kol Goyim,
so it's a Gvald Gepichos. You ask him, it's a Gvald Gepichos to sing yes. Such a nigun for in particular this in Chanukah. Okay, so we discussed the Dmei Chanukah, we discussed the Latkes, we discussed, yeah.
About the Chedusha Arim.
Yeah.
With his son, he gave the Hanukkah girl.
Yeah.
So I just found a story that the daughter of the cousin of Margaret, her name was Perla, had a lot of Apollo. She didn't have any kids. So the cousin ran to the Gedolim at his time, and the Badishiva said, okay, give me your menorah, the Hanukkah menorah. He took the Hanukkah menorah, and then he turned around and he said, this is a present to your... To your son. And she had a son, and this menorah is passed down, and they're going to light it tonight.
Very nice. Okay, let's go to now. There's another. There used to be a custom. I don't know where this custom comes from. That on Chanukah you make up with riddles. I think that's why the Chashuk Echemet. Last week we spent one day on Rav Zilberstein Sefer. Chashuk Echemet, he has a lot of riddles. What?
English.
What if? What if? Right. They put out another volume.
He just bought it for his kids.
He bought the What If book, right? The What If book. They took two. They translated already a few. Olein L'Shabeach was translated to 5 volumes. You know how much that cost to translate to build a 5 volumes? That's a project in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then they put out the two What Ifs. Two What Ifs. But he put out
an English book, though. You gotta be careful.
What?
It's a very
another book called What If.
What If? It has nothing to do.
No, this. Apikorsis. What are you talking about? I know you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. So we have over here. One thing I noticed in the book, I didn't understand what was going on. He has these riddles. The whole book is full of. What is he putting riddles? So I discovered in this sefer that in a Chanami there used to be a minikad. On Chanukah you make riddles. There's an Indian. I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from. But you have it's to teach children. Maybe it's part of chinuch habanim in order to get children thinking to come up with riddles. So he has here some fascinating riddles related to Chanukah. Let me share with you two riddles. Here's the riddle. Okay, let me share with you two cute riddles. Where do you have a situation where if a slave, you have a master and a slave, and the slave falls down on the floor, falls down, you pick up the slave, but if the master falls down, let the master remain on the floor. Who cares? Where do you have a hechatimsin halacha, such a situation? So the answer to the riddle is the shamus of the menorah and one of the ikoneris of the menorah. The shamus is an evet, is a slave. The questions, the riddles sound better in Hebrew. But the shamus is the evet. If the shamus blows out, are you mechuyev to relight the shamus?
Yes.
Yes. Because the reason why you have a shamus is you should have enough from the neighbors. So you have to be honest. If the ikuner blows out, call the inzakikla. So that's the answer to this riddle. Okay, that's what. Now here's another cute riddle. They were learning Masechta Gittin. So the Rebbe said to the Talmidim, Hamevi get mi medinas hayam tsarich echad l'tsarif elav kidei sheyiye mekuyim. A person brings a get from medinas hayam. So you don't recognize the signatures. The person brings the bill of divorce to a woman. You don't recognize the signatures. So who's going to be mekayem the signature? So the shliach, the one that's bringing the get, he recognizes signatures. But you have to go search in the community, in the society, to find another person to go mitzvah. One other person should come forward in order to testify. Another. What does this halacha have to do with Chanukah? What could this halacha, the first mishnah, Masechta Gittin, have to do with Chanukah? So the answer is, what is get b'gematria? Get is b'gematria. 12. What is Medinas Hayam Bigamatria? Medina Amevi get what is Hayam? What is Hayam Bigamatria? The word Hayam? 55. So Hamevi get means if you extract Hamevi get, if you extract the get, the 11 from the Yam, when you deduct 12 from 55, you're 43. How many Neris do you learn in Chanukah with the Shamasim? 44. So a short one. The male, that's why it's Sarich Litzarif Olav Echad. You need to get one more person. Okay, cute little. It's worth the laugh. Okay, it's worth the laugh. It's not worth much in Halacha, but these are examples he gives that through the ages, people have focused on, have developed, have okay. No, I don't know what this one. Okay. Let me tell you a more serious one. Okay, let's discuss something a little more serious. Okay, now here's the question. Here's a question which is a good question. It's a tough question. I don't have a really good answer. The answer I'm going to give you is Jewish. It's not a real answer. But think about when did Chanukah. There are two holidays that we have in Golis that are not part of the biblical holidays: Chanukah and Purim. Which one happened first? Purim. Pashat. Purim happened now. What, almost 300 years, at least 300 years, 200 years more, a little more.
3408
to 3622,
so
214 years. So in history, chronologically, it happened way before the miracle of Chanukah. As we go through the year, which holiday do we celebrate first? Chanukah. Halloy Davar, shouldn't it be the other way around? Now, of course, you tell them, well, the calendar, that's when it fell out. Okay, but HaKol B'Hashkocha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it out that the calendar, we observe the holiday of Chanukah first, then Purim. Yet, historically, Purim happened first. And we go through Pesach, we go through the biblical festivals, we have Pesach, we start with Chodesh Nisan, Pesach, and then is Shavuos, and then is Sukkot. So we are going through the Seder of history. There is something to it. So why is that we're dealing with the holidays, the Chagim of the Rabbanon, is it not according to the order of history? So the answer really is, It is in order. We think that Chanukah, when we're celebrating Chanukah and Purim, we're celebrating Chanukah and Purim. First Chanukah, then Purim. That's not so. Chanukah is really the gemar of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah that a person that you can still do tshuva. The chasima is not 100% until Zoyschan, until the very, very end of Chanukah. And what about Purim? Purim is really the end of the year. It's the 12th month. But the Chazal say it all when we have a double Adar. What happens if we have an Adar Aleph and Adar Sheni? When do we celebrate Purim? Sheni. Why? That breaks every single rule in Halacha. Because Soymech Geula LeGeula. Nisan is the beginning of the year. Nisan is the Aschalta de Geula. So Purim has to be attached to that Geula. Why? Because Adar, when we celebrate Purim, it's really the introduction to the next year. Don't look at Purim as being the Gemara, the very end of the year. It's Adar, the 12th month of the year. It's already 14 days through the last month of the year. But the fact that Chazal make this statement, the Soymech Geula LeGeula, it's teaching us it's the introduction to the next year. So the truth is, we are celebrating it. Yeah.
We say Adbash.
Yeah.
Aleph is Tisha B'Av.
Purim.
Purim is before.
So you see, Purim really Gvaldik. So you know what he's saying? Adbash, the first letter of the Aleph base corresponds to a holiday. Aleph is tough.
The first day of Pesach.
So the first day of Pesach is tough, which is Tisha B'Av. Mm-hmm. And you go through, so the last one is Purim. Vav lemafreya. Vav. The sixth day of Pesach is Pei lemafreya. Was Purim last year? Why are you going last year? Why don't you go first year? The Targum says Purim already was, because Purim is really the aschalti of Valdegaraya. So therefore, we really do celebrate the holidays in order. First comes Purim, and then comes Chanukah. First comes Purim, and then comes Pesach. But Purim really is part of Pesach, and then the year ends with Shmini Atzeres, 8 days, Bayom HaShmini, and then as an extension of Shmini Atzeres, we linger all the way until Chanukah. Chanukah is the real Gemar, and the truth is also on the dreidel. So the dreidel, why we have Goishna? There are so many different reasons why we have the letters Goishna on the dreidel. One of the reasons Goishna is Gimel Shana. And what does Gimel? Gimel means, stands for Gemar. Gimel Shana is the Gemar of the Shana, is the end of the year. When you spin the dreidel, it's like you now can look back at the entire year. Hafeichba, you really only get a full perspective of what happened this year when it comes to Chanukah. Chanukah, now you can take a look back and appreciate what happened throughout the entire year. Goishna, Neis Gadol, we say Neis Gadol HaYasham.
Chanukah, I mentioned it last year, it was in that sefer that you discussed on Chanukah last year.
Yeah.
That the reason that we say whole Hallel on Chanukah is because the year 3622, when the Chanukah, the Nes came along, that year they were fighting a war and they didn't celebrate Chanukah, they didn't celebrate Sukkot, which was 8 days, and that's why
the following year
to be make up Hallel for Sukkot, which they didn't say Hallel because they were at war.
And
they say whole Hallel on
very nice.
It's so, that safer.
So Chanukah is the Gemar Gimel Shana. Again, there are many, many reasons why you have Nes Gadol HaYasham. And just Derech Agav, there's a very beautiful story with the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe, when he came to Eretz Yisrael after the war, it was Chanukah, and he said, please bring me a dreidel. He wants to kind of minag Yisrael, the Sivivayim, to turn the dreidel, whatever this is an ancient minag. They want to say that this minag came that when times of Yivan, they would teach Torah to the children. It was Sakanas Nefashas. Shmat, if you'd be caught teaching Torah to children, you'd be executed. So what they did was, they play a game, something that resembles our dreidel. And in case they were caught, the Rebbe would teach the children Torah. And in case they would walk in, they would be caught. They had an excuse. We're not learning Torah. We're playing games. We're playing cards. Gambling, playing cards, playing games.
Kvit L'chosa.
They were playing games. They were learning Torah. But the truth was, and as a cover for learning Torah, they were playing cards, or they were playing with these boxes, these whatever, what we call the dreidel, dice. So that's why we preserve a zecher of the Shema, the difficulty we had in the Siris Nefesh. We also play games. It's mutu. to play cards on Hanukkah. Okay, so there are many reasons, but this Belgium, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, I challenged Eretz Yisrael, you probably cannot find in the entire Eretz Yisrael a dreidel that says Neis Gadol Haya Sham Haya Po Neis Gadol Haya Po. So the Belzer Rebbe, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, they asked him to be a dreidel. He brought him a dreidel, and he looked at the dreidel, and he saw there was a pay instead of a shin. There's a my high. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't make dreidels. This is the beginning. And they already had dreidels, I guess. This is right after the war. They already, he says, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have a dreidel that says Sham. We're here. This is the real deal. So he says, no, Minag Yisrael. I refuse to spin. I refuse to sit even in Admas Kodesh. Al Admas Kodesh, I refuse to spin a dreidel that says
pay.
I refuse. And it says in the storybooks they couldn't find the dreidel. They went from store to store, from house to house, and with extreme difficulty we were able to I would have just taken the drill and write a shin on it. What's the big deal? Just scratch it out and write a shin. But he said, Minag Yisrael ad kedei kach neis gadol hayasham. Hayasham. Even in Eretz Yisrael, Sham does it. The shin is not the only reason why it's not just Rosh Hashanah. It's a lot of reasons why. Okay, but obviously in Eretz Yisrael, it's not the min. In Eretz Yisrael, you will have a very hard time finding a dreidel that has the word Sham. They don't pass it like this. Okay, we're out of time. I want to one thing I want to tell you. That, okay, you know, maybe we should say this for tomorrow because we're not really out of time. We're out of time. It's 20 after. What? It will take time. What? I'll say it for tomorrow. I'll be good for tomorrow. But let me just remind you.
Yeah. He spins the dreidel until he gets a gimel.
Until he gets a gimel, no matter what. You can fix. It's very easy. Now, as a child, you learn all the shtick. You take a lead pencil. You take a lead pencil and you just write on the opposite side of the dreidel. If you want the gimel, what's opposite of the gimel? What's opposite of the gimel on the dreidel? The shin? So you just try this and take a lead pencil and just scribble on the shin. Scribble a lot on the shin, and I guarantee when you do, when you turn the drill, always lands on the shin. I mean, which we on gimel, because the shin lands on the gimel. There's all the shtick and all this crunkite. Okay, wait, before I get into it, I want to remind you tomorrow, having a special guest. Two things. Number one, starting next week, no more mincha. Next week, we're going to finish at 12 o'clock every day. And tomorrow, we're having a special guest of Shmelka Pinto. He's coming at 10:45. Okay, tonight.